all scouts have the connections with clubs either. That's the other thing.
That's true, that. But let me put a hypothetical question to you, right, because this is something that's always played on my mind in the past, right? My question is this, you know, as we know, football is a very big money industry, right? And managers can sometimes be sacked on maybe three or four results. If you as an agent have a young Asian player on your books who's, let's just say, scoring goals for fun and setting the season alight, because there's not that many Asians or the lack of Asians within football itself, how reluctant or how, you know, would that manager take that young Asian on? Or would he take maybe a black or a white person who isn't scoring as many goals as that young Asian is, but thinking, well, I won't get the flack from my fans and I won't get the grief from my fans if I take this black or white lad on?
Well, there you go. You're bringing in discrimination again. I don't think that's right. At the end of the day, if a player is good, they judge the player by their skills and their ability. So I disagree with that.
So do you? I mean, that is, like I said, that is why I'm putting it across, because a lot of people believe that it does exist out there. So in your opinion, being an agent and being there firsthand, you have never come across that and you don't think that exists?
No, that is something what is within the Asian's mind. Just because their son hasn't got a scholarship or they've not been referred to a club, that's the opinion they create. If you look around, it's the world. A lot of the players are actually from different ethnic minorities. Like you have a lot of the Turkish players who are Muslims.
Mm-hmm, definitely,
here.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, it's how good that individual is. You can't bring in discrimination every time just because there isn't an Asian player playing for the UK.
But if you take that back, though, if, you know, if you wind the clock back to, what, 25 years, maybe 30 years, you know, before the likes of John Barnes and before that, Cyril Regis's and them, they started playing, you know, they had the same problems that maybe the Asians have got now or have had for the last 10 years. And it's only when there was a big burst of the black players that came onto the scene that people thought, and if I take it a step further, you know, up until probably David James and then David Warner and a few others, you never heard of a black goalkeeper.
Yeah, but now, let's not forget, Indians got the Indian Super League. What does that say?
But isn't that more money-orientated?
It's not money-orientated. They're actually spending money out there to get their youngsters playing and setting up academies. Liverpool has set up one out there, and same, I believe, Chelsea has. Mm-hmm. So they are trying to promote our Asian youngsters to go into football.
Valid point.
And
valid
also,
point.
Same here, in answer to your question, I think some of these young clubs which are run by Asians, I don't know if you're aware, they only play against Asian clubs.
No, that was
not
that,
the English ones.
That was one of the next points that I was going to.
I'm sorry, I'm going to stop on the discrimination because I don't want to get into that debate.
No, that's totally understandable. That was my point. The next point that I was going to go to is that, you know, do you think for us, one of the biggest problems that we've got is the fact that we tend to go down that route instead of having teams within, you know,
yes.
You know, because we've got, I mean, only recently there was the Asian Cup final in Celtic Park, you know, yeah. Where, you know, they went up for the weekend, they had a tournament there, and then the final was actually at Celtic Park Stadium. Do you think that definitely doesn't help youngsters, especially from the Asian community?
No, it doesn't, because at the end of the day, you need to be playing within mixed teams. It's not about the Asians stick together. At the end of the day, football is watched and played by ethnic groups from all over the world, so why just stick to your own?
I can agree to an extent in terms of why these groups do that and why these leagues are set up across the country, but at the same time, you know, when I run off just a few names, you know, Anwaruddin, Zeshan Rahman, Adnan Ahmed, Harpal Singh, India Ajula, and then you've got the main man, you know, Michael Chopra, you know. In all the years that we've been here now, second and now third generation, to only have possibly, what, 10 Asian professionals?
Yeah, but you're going to have to wait and see how the changes come about, because what you've got to remember, a lot of these Asians initially within our community, they have a talented player. I'll give you the example of my own boy, Vagas.
Mm-hmm.
he's been very passionate, and he's had the support of his mama and his mum and his family throughout. He obviously got his scholarship at Burnley. Unfortunately, now he's moving on. But they came to me because they didn't have that support as to where do we go now.
So basically,
there isn't that going between person. So if there is an Asian player out there, is how you can move that Asian player forward. You've got to have contacts within the clubs and the people who you work with within the football industry. And what I've been doing whilst I've been in this role as a football agent is building relationships with senior scouts together with clubs who I can put forward these young players to if I or my team feel that there is potential. Whereas that wasn't in existence before, because obviously young Asian players play football until the age of 18. They think, oh, that's it, our career's over. But the role of as an agent is also to look out and be a third parent. If you see a talent, you take that talent forward and you start knocking on the club's doors.
Definitely. So in respect to, you know, if there is, let's just say, you know, hypothetically speaking again, if there's an 18-year-old kid out there, you know, and there's probably a lot listening right now and thinking, you know what, Shanila is absolutely spot on with what she said, and I don't want to give up at 18, I want to go out of there and prove, what's the next step? What would you recommend to them?
Well, the first thing I'll always say to the youngsters who are out there is make videos. Every game you play, have a video. If you think, or the parents think, that their son is gifted, then by all means contact me. You have my details, platinumfa.co.uk. We will have a look at the video. If need be, we could come and see them. Also, try and build up a CV of the youngster. At least when people are looking at the player, they also look at the CV together with the video. And then the way forward would be, fine, if we think the player is good, we can put him forward for trials.
And how's your networking now? Do you feel you're in a position that you've got plenty of clubs that you could then possibly put him out to?
What I can say is, in the football industry, it's basically who you know. I've learned that.
Yep, definitely.
Also having the right support, because I wouldn't trust a lot of people out there. You have to work with people whom you trust. And that's the most important thing. And yes, I do have a network around me where, yes, we work as a team. If we feel a player is good, we can put that player forward to the clubs. And we do have contacts with the clubs as well, together with their chief scouts.
And that's really good, because I'm looking at your website, you know, and the main, you know, points, highlights of Platinum FA, which is your agency, is integrity, character, trust, and transparency, you know, along with care, honesty, and morality. And I, you know, when you see, you know, certain agents out there, or you see the stories in the papers, should I say, you know, and if I refer to you, one of the latest ones at the moment, Raheem Sterling, his agent coming on record and saying $900,000 a week.
Right, on that one, I would never, ever put my player in front of a camera, because all what that agent has done, he has given Raheem Sterling
the worst
possible advice. Whatever is discussed between an agent and a player is between them two, not for him to have shared it with the world. So he's very ill-advised, that youngster.
That's spot on. I mean, when I was hearing them breaking news about Raheem and then his agent, I just thought, well, whose interest are you in there for, Raheem's or yourself?
To me, you have to put first the player or your client's interest first, because it's their welfare and their future you're looking towards, nothing else. Money comes after. At the end of the day, you're planning that player's future. So you have to look at various options, not just how I can quickly make money out of this young player, because that's not what I'm in for as an agent. To me, you are a third parent to this player. It's like, I'll give you the example, when I left home, I had to learn everything myself. These young footballers leave home at an early age. They're good on the pitch. Anything outside, they're not aware of.
I know.
So that's where you have to give them the guidance and the support as a parent would.
It's a very, very big field though out there with football. It can be a very, very dangerous one. And if the youngsters haven't got someone